showers.
Our scriptural affirmation today comes from Proverbs, the third chapter, starting at the first verse. I'll read in the first, and you'll read the every other verse. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments.
For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil.
It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase.
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine."
Dear Father, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your incredible goodness to us. And we are so grateful that you allow us to gather today as a body of believers, as First Baptist Church of Garrettsville, as the body of Christ, to worship you. So today we surrender ourselves. We ask that you would have your way, that you would animate us, that you would help us to be what you need us to be for you to be glorified in this instance, in this place. Be glorified. Help us to think in the right way. Help us to act in the right way. We need you, and without you, we can do nothing. So thank you for bringing us together this day in your presence. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mean, I want you to think about this. We've just sung something. I want us to think about this. Do we want to have the Spirit of the living God present in this place? Do we want him to have control here? That's the question that we have to answer. Because we can have that if we want it right now. Think about what we're asking for. If you are born again, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then the Spirit of God came in this place with you. If you are in this atmosphere, you fill this place with your presence. The Spirit of the living God is here. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The same Spirit is here in you this day. And we ask, just like it says in Ephesians 5, that we would be filled with him. From the inside, he would bubble up out of us, bubble up and completely control us so that we walk in love and peace and joy and faith, and we walk in the ways of God. We look more like Jesus because we're being changed from glory to glory to glory. We're being changed by God. We're being changed because the Spirit of the living God resides with the people of God. And if we are the people of God, he is here flooding this place right now. Let him have control. And Father, we do ask that you would pour out upon us, enable us, that we might be able to worship you. Oh Lord. Holy Spirit,
you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. presence, Lord.
Have your way here this day, Lord. Speak to us. Your children are listening. Today we want to ask a question of us all. We want to think about something. We want to know a question. Where do you go when you need help? What do you do when you need help? Do you just fall back in your old ways? Do you just fall back on the stuff that is out of your past, the pre-Christian you or the worldly Christian you? Or do you choose to allow God to have his way? I tell you, there's the Bible has some interesting ideas about this, and we would do well to pay attention. In the 31st chapter of Isaiah, the first word is woe. Now, whenever I used to think of woe, and I still can think of it this way, I think of the W-H-O-A woe, you know, you're riding along and God says, woe, you stop. But that's not the woe here. This woe is, you're in trouble, boy. This is woe. You are about to experience something that you don't want to experience because of the behavior that you have had. Woe. You're not living right. Woe. We got to deal with this situation that is before us. Woe to you. You be afraid. Be scared because something's coming that you're not going to enjoy. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Can you imagine that both Israel and the northern kingdom and Judah, the southern kingdom, that they would actually think about going to Egypt to get help? Now, let me see. You were there for 400 years. They oppressed you, and by the time you left, the way that God had to get you out was to create a way for you on dry land through the Red Sea and drown all the Egyptians behind you. You've forgotten how bad it was. And now you, because you tried to make an agreement with Assyria, and then Assyria decided that they were going to take so much money from you on a regular basis that now you wanted to escape from them, so you were going to go back to Egypt. Have you lost your mind? Are you that crazy? Are we that crazy that we would go back to the place where we were in slavery? Where we go back to the stuff that keeps us from having a good life? We go back to the pain and sorrow that was in Egypt? We're not supposed to do such a thing. Well, that was 400 years ago. Maybe it changed a little. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses. They depend upon their horses, the number of military people that they could get to fight in a battle. You can't. They may be strong, they may be powerful, but you can't depend upon them. You can't even depend on their technology. Chariots were the advanced technology of the day. Yeah, I've got me a Moses 452. It was just an amazing thing, you know, that this is a thing of war that was something that you thought, well, if I could just get enough chariots, I can handle just about anybody, you know? So I get people, I get chains, but God is saying, don't trust in them because they are many, and in the horsemen because they are very strong. But look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. You depend on people, but you don't look to God. How often do we try to do something and we just fail to look to God? I know I'm guilty. I know there are times when I'm guilty. I'm just trying to figure it all out. I'm just trying to make it all better. Just trying to get it all done. I've got my own idea here, and I'm going to finagle it and make it work and grab this and grab that and hold on to this, realizing at some point, hopefully, oh, you forgot to talk to God about this. You ever forget to talk to God about this? You ever forget that he's the one that's absolutely in charge? You ever forget that he is the one who has created all things, and for his pleasure are all things, and we are for his pleasure, and that he has the ability to do whatever it is that needs to be done so that he is glorified in any particular situation? Do you forget that he is strong, that he is powerful, that there is no other God like him? Do you forget that you cannot be saved apart from him? Do you forget that he is the one who has promised to be with you and not forsake you forever? Did you forget that he is God and God alone? He's El Shaddai. He's all powerful. Had you forgotten that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Have you forgotten that he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords? There is no one above him. There is no other. Have you forgotten? We need to remember. We need to have a vision of how great he is, how wondrous he is. We need to look back and remember what we were like before we declared Jesus Christ as Lord. And we didn't declare Jesus Christ as Lord because we were so smart. We didn't declare Jesus Christ as Lord because we were so strong, or even because it seemed like a good idea. We recognized the futility of our broken lives and the wonder of the beauty of who he is and his ability to put us back together.
Amen.
We need to recognize that we should look to the Holy One of Israel. Verse 2. This is, when you look at it in the Hebrew, it's kind of a sarcastic statement. He said, yet he also is wise. You think those people down there in Egypt, they're wise. But, you know, I just want to let you know, God's wise too. Don't you recognize that? Yet he also is wise and will bring evil. Now, when you think about this word, it's not a moral evil. It's not something that is wrong, but it is difficult because it's saying he will bring disaster. He will bring the falling apart. He will bring stuff to your life. You know, stuff happens to you. You know, some of you have been Christians for a very long time and a whole bunch of stuff. In fact, some of us have been Christians long enough that more stuff has happened to us after our conversion than happened to us before our conversion. Stuff happens. Stuff goes on in this world. People die. There are fires that burn, floods that flood, storms that come. They're people. And you know that's a mess. You know that's difficult. That is challenging. We recognize that. And God is wise, and he will not call back his words. What he has said, he has said. You need to believe him. Because sometimes we think we can get away with it. That maybe he's not the same God as he was in Genesis. Maybe he's eased up a little bit since Deuteronomy.
And certainly he's no longer that guy you find in Jeremiah or that one that allowed destruction in Job. He must be different. This is the New Testament. Well, you need to read Revelation. Because even though all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose, as it says in Romans, the reality is that there will come a time when he will wrap all of this mess up like a scroll. Are you going to be with him? Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Sometimes if you're reading this and you're reading it and you don't have context for some of this stuff, you wonder, this seems so unfair, Lord. You seem so harsh. But we need to remember, he told them how to behave. He told a king what they were supposed to do. You know, we're the royal priesthood. We're the family. We're in there now. We've been born again. We've been changed. We've been made different. We're kings and queens and princes, and we're part of the godly line. We're something special, not because of us, but because he chose us. And we ought to think about what he told the kings of old and how they were supposed to act. And he told these people specifically how they were supposed to act when this kind of situation came up. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, I think the 17th chapter, Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 17, verse 14, I believe. He said, listen to these words in context of what we've been talking about so far. They are trying to get out from under the hand of Assyria and all their oppressors, so they're going back to another oppressor to do that. And this is what he had said to them a while ago. He said, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, when you get to this place, I want you to understand this, and shall possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. I'm going to be just like everybody else. Now, God, there's even a subtext to this, because we recognize that they chose to have a king over them instead of having God as their king. They wanted a human king, and they got a mess with that. But this is what he said will happen. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. And we know he chose Samuel, and that was followed by David. Saul, and that was followed by David. One from among thy brother. Make sure you choose one that's from you, from your group. When you are making agreements, when you are making life decisions, can you make sure that you team up with Christians? Not with just anybody. Don't put yourself in the hands of just anybody to get an advantage. You've got to be careful who you sell yourself to. You've got to be careful who you give yourself over to. We as Christians need to understand. Now, we have to work with people. We have to do stuff out in the world. We know that. But be careful who you hook yourself up with. So, thou shalt in any wise set him a king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Here they were deciding that they were going to set somebody over them so that they could get relief. And he said, don't do that. Verse 16, but he shall not multiply horses to himself. Well, they're going down to a place where they were had lots of horses, had lots of strength, had lots of warriors. Nor cause the people to return to Egypt. And yet they were saying, let's go back and let Egypt help us. To the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Let that past go. Let those past ways go, that past way of thinking, those desires, let them go. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Not only do you look for one that thinks is stuff, the people he has will make him stronger. The stuff will make him stronger. You got to be careful that you don't try to get your needs met any other way but by the way that God would have you. Don't multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. As brilliant, as wise as Solomon was, he messed up by having too many things that distracted him from God. He was out there testing stuff. Let me try this, let me try that, just to see how it works. I'm gonna act the fool so I can tell you all about it. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Some of us want to get rich. I would like to have a lot of money, I must admit. But you know, the lust for money will drive you crazy. The lust for security you think money brings will mess you up. Sometimes you think that brings you security. Sometimes you think that brings you a way of life that will allow you to be comfortable. And just as you get the last dollar that clinks into your account, just as you get it, you die. And you leave it to somebody who's going to act a fool. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. He's going to study the word of God. He is going to make himself familiar with the word of God. You and I need to make ourselves familiar with the word of God. Are you familiar with it? Now, I don't mean just a passing thing. It's more than just sitting in church and letting a few words flow over you. It's got to be more than that. You've got to have a relationship with him, and you've got to know him. You go through this word. He was writing the whole thing out so that, and then studying it. It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. We need to learn to fear God. We need to believe God. To keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. If you love him, do his commandments. That his heart shall not be lifted up above his brother, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children. He and his children. Going back to Isaiah, we'll finish this up quickly. Now, we'll start at verse 3 here. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. Some of the things that we're depending on, we make God. We make employers God. We make wives God. We make stuff God. We make things God that are not God. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses, their flesh and not spirit. Let the Spirit drive us. We talked about that, the Holy Spirit. Flood this atmosphere. Listen, let's get our theology right. Let him flood the atmosphere from us, in us. We're here. Let us change the atmosphere through the Spirit of God. We're not looking for some thing to kind of wait in the lobby until we call him in. We're looking at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we need to allow him to have rule in us, and he is in us if we know Jesus, and we should allow him to fill us. That means to have complete and thorough control of us and ask him to pour down upon us so that he might equip us for anything that he calls us to. He's here. Will we let him control us? Flood the atmosphere with our poetic language. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. Nothing can stop God from being what he wants to be, where he wants to be, when he wants to be. For thus saith the Lord, for thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. Listen, think of yourself as God's prey. I know that's not a doesn't sound like a pretty picture, but he's captured me. He's captured my heart. And I think of these people all around, this stuff all around coming. They're making noise and they're shouting at him, but he's standing over me saying, "This is mine, and you can't take it. This is mine, and you can't take it. You are his, and no one can take you. You're for him, and no one can snatch you from his hands." And he's roaring over you. You're his. I am his. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. He's fighting for the people of God. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. You ever been out and watch a bird? You know, the ones that put their nests in the ground, they will lead you away. They will do everything they can to keep you away from that nest. They'll lead you away, see if you'll follow. They'll peck at you. They'll do all kinds of things. It's really an amazing thing. God will keep you. He will deliver it. And passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him today. Today, won't you turn to him? Today is your day. Listen. No more fooling around. Don't mess up. Turn to him. Turn ye to him whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. People, we've turned away from him. We need to give ourselves over to him. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver, all the things that they... He's worshiping all the things that are distracting, all of the things that would keep a person from worshiping, that he's going to turn from those. We need to turn away from that. We need to turn away from the idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your hands have made unto you for a sin. We can turn away this day. Then shall Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, not with the sword, not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion. It's in the midst of his people. You might not be able to see it right now, but the fire of God is here. Oh, how I wish you could see it. He wants to purify us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to wash over us. The Holy Spirit is here for us to be changed, to be made different. Whose fire is in Zion and his furnace is in Jerusalem. He's changing us. He's making us different. He's working in our lives. Just like he worked for old Israel, he works for us today. Today, will you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord? Will you, if you know him, will you continue to allow the gospel to work in your life so that you continue to grow toward him? You grow more like him. You allow him to make you pure. Today is the day. Receive him. Receive him this day.